Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Luke Kornet, we barely knew ye. Now a San Antonio Spur.
Is he going to bring the barking down there? That's what I want to know.
I would imagine. Why would he stop?
It's nice for him because not only is he getting paid, he is a Texas boy.
Is he?
Yeah.
I guess
Yeah, he's a Texas guy.
I did not know
so
that.
So he's kind of going home. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what part of Texas he's from, but
it's a big state.
I spent a couple years in San Antonio
Born
myself.
In Kentucky.
Born in Kentucky.
Yeah, but he was in Texas for a while.
Oh, I don't know. It's all news to me. I didn't know he was born in Kentucky. If you asked me where Luke Kornet was from, I might have guessed Massachusetts. I don't even know. Wait, you spent time in Texas?
Yeah, I lived there for 2 years when I had my brain couldn't form memories because I was in college. Just kidding. I was a toddler.
You were a youth.
I was a baby.
I see. Luke Kornet, 4 years, $41 million with the Spurs. That's a deep front. Like, that's a weird signing all the way around. It's more money than I thought he was going to get. It's more term than I thought he was going to get.
Him and Wemby.
Yeah, and then, but that's a big front court there, isn't it? Like, that's a big team. And he's going to be a depth guy. It's not like he's getting paid to start. So when I was open to a Kornet return, I was talking $3-5 million a year. Like,
you thought he was going to get $3-4 million?
Well, that's the only way I wanted him back, is to wedge him in under the second apron. I didn't want to carve out Simons, Hauser, even Niang. I didn't want to carve out pieces like that to make room to re-sign Luke Kornet.
I thought that they were going to, do that.
I was fearful they might, but I was not personally on board with that. If he was going to come back and roll into the second apron or under the second apron, and now he's a player who would be here and he doesn't impact your taxes, fine. I didn't want to trade away good players to bring him back. Good guy, I'm sure. Nice enough player. Really good game against the Knicks. But there's a lot of Luke Kornets in the NBA, to me.
There are. I think the question was whether he was going to take a steep discount. And 3-4 would have been a really steep discount, even before you see what this, I guess, like about 10.5 per year or whatever that he got in San Antonio. I thought that he would go out on the open market and maybe get 8. And so you could get him for 6 or something like that.
Yep.
And he's somebody that you know works in your system, that you've developed a lot. He was an undrafted guy who then came over here, came up through Maine. Like, you know him really well. And I think that matters to Stevens to understand, like, this is a guy who's going to be developmental and work in the system. But you're right, he's a 6 points per game guy. Like, he improved a lot while he was here, and I love his personality and who he was as a teammate for these guys. But at the same time, there were points where you threw Kornet out there and he'd get a little lost on defensive reads. Like, there was definitely a bigger gap than I think some fans wanted to admit between the Porzingis-Horford starting position and then when you'd go to Kornet. And I love a lot of things about Kornet, but he's still a developmental backup player.
Yeah, exactly. He's a depth piece. Like, San Antonio might be overpaying him, but they're going to have him as a depth piece. That's probably the right spot for him. I didn't need to throw that contract at him. I was hoping he'd come back at a steep discount. But I think, well, obviously that ship has sailed, and I'm not all that broken up over it. I know a lot of Celtics fans are. I'm not all that broken up over it. Horford, you think he's going to Golden State?
It sure sounds like it. It
sounds like there's too many teams involved for the Celtics to have any chance at bringing him back.
It would be more of a surprise at this point, I think, if he came back to the Celtics than if he ended up somewhere like Golden State. And it makes sense. Like, he's almost definitely on the last contract of his career. And it's going to be a tough place for him to play this coming season. Like, with Jason Tatum out, maybe you're a I don't know, sixth seed, fifth seed, like maybe you're somewhere in that area in the Eastern Conference. It's just, it's going to be a very different place than he's been in the last couple iterations of these Celtics. So, yeah, I would be surprised if he comes back at this point.
So, I think he's a good fit there, too. I think Golden State is a good fit for him, meaning Horford, where he can kind of play off some of the guys that are there. That should be, I think, a championship-caliber team. They were, before Curry got hurt,
out
they were
there?
Looking awesome. Yeah,
out West?
Well, yeah, they were last year.
You see the Rockets, though? I mean, the Rockets are like, I'm sorry, you know me, don't count out Ime Udoka.
True.
Like, and the moves that they're making, I know everybody's down on Durant. They think he's old. Like, you don't want him here. I get that. I don't want him here either. I don't think he fits with the timeline or anything. But that's going to be a really good team.
Okay, but I guess when I say, I think they were a title contender last year. I mean, they were rolling before Curry got hurt. And they played really well after the Butler trade, and I think Horford's a good fit there. So when I say title contender, probably not the favorite. It's probably still OKC.
I would say they're in the mix a little bit.
Yeah.
OKC, they're a fringe mixer.
OKC, Houston, Minnesota, like that kind of tier, no?
OKC, what are these tiers?
OKC's on its own tier.
OKC and Minnesota are radically different tiers.
OKC's on its own tier.
Okay.
Okay, because I do think OKC is going to repeat. I do think OKC has all the pieces of a budding
dynasty.
Well,
everybody thinks that right after a championship.
Well, and that's true. I fell for it with the Celtics. I fell for it with the Nuggets. I guess I'll fall for it again.
It sure doesn't happen in today's NBA.
But this team is better than those teams. That Oklahoma City team is better than the Celtics. It's better than the Nuggets from 2 years ago.
You think that Oklahoma City team is better than the Celtics?
They won
2 years
more games.
Ago.
They had a better scoring differential.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
They also had a way tougher path. A way tougher path. Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I think they will be better eventually. So maybe I'm agreeing with you.
You don't think they had a tougher path, or you just don't think they're better?
I think we look in retrospect as the Celtics, like, oh, they didn't have that tough of a path. I know there were some injuries along the way, but they were also much better than the teams in the East. Like, if anything, you could say, okay, it was much more lopsided, where the Celtics were so much better than the other teams in the East when they won the championship than what the OKC had to go through in the West. But I think if you took that team and the team from 2 years ago going up against each other in the finals, the Celtics from that year would win.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Again, Oklahoma, 68 wins and a scoring differential.
Let's put it in the
plus
simulator.
13 or whatever.
Call up your guy Breslow. He probably has a simulation
That's
for
true.
It.
What are Breslow's models on that?
Breslow's like, hold on, I'll take 5 minutes
He's
on
like,
this.
Hang on, I'm 8 non-alcoholic Topo Chico's deep.
How did he know that? How did that tricky Alex Cora read those tipping pitches? Those aren't in my computer system over here.
Don't worry. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock. We'll get to that with Brad Foe as well at High Noon.
The Celtics would win.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Wow, the model spit that out. That's proprietary, by the way. That's WEEAI is what that
okay.
is. Yeah, that's
okay.
That's our chat bot
Has
here.
That been cleared with legal?
Yeah, well, I think that, well, I don't know, actually.
AI is a real gray area for a lot of content companies.
I know the lawyers will stick their nose in there, that's for sure.
No, it has not.
Okay. Keep that under wraps,
That's
then.
Proprietary, though. That's the chatbot when you go through the hiring process now at Odyssey, Mega.
Okay.
We've been here a while, but when you go through the new hiring process, that's the chatbot that hires you. W-E-E-A-I.
This can be our secret.
W-E-E-A-I.
Got it.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
I'll
yes.
be waiting my performance review with the chatbot. Like, write more stuff.
So you mentioned tiers. We'll do tier Tuesday.
10 out of 10.
Tier Tuesday.
Oh, thank you.
Coming up an hour from now. We're going to tier off with lots of barbecues going on for the 4th of July, cookouts, things of that nature. We're going to tier off yard games. You know, your cornhole. Don't give any thoughts on
mm-hmm.
them yet. You know, cornhole, horseshoes, things of that nature. Coming up at 11:30, tier
Holy
Tuesday.
Holy moly.
No. Holy board.
Okay.
Is what that is. We have Brad Foe at High Noon and all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the calls here in a moment, but the Celtics are going to be searching for a big. We'll find out how to get it. Maybe they put Niang and Hauser together. Maybe they peel off Simons. Maybe they sign somebody on the veterans minimum like Luka Garza. Any thoughts on him?
Not a lot. I mean, again, if you want to call Luke Kornet a depth piece, I mean, this guy seems really developmental. Very, very early and has been on a two-way contract until very recently with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I don't think he's really the answer to who's going to be. I know, the Wolves.
The who again?
The Timberwolves.
Wolves.
Did you miss that?
Yes, I forgot. I actually forgot about that. Yeah.
So with Minnesota, so I don't think he's going to be the answer to who's going to be starting over Kata or Tillman, if those are your starters right now.
Luka Garza, if you care, and you probably don't, was an absolute monster in college. I loved him coming out. He's mm-hmm. done nothing in the NBA. He's got Hugo Gonzalez level numbers. But, yeah.
Okay, that's very rude.
It's what he has. But he was a player of the year in college, two-time All-American, and a guy I like coming out. Maybe, you know, Brad Stevens, former college hoops guy, maybe he sees something there they can work with. You know, it's not like Luke Kornet when they brought him in was anything special.
Well, but that's what I mean. He's the developmental guy. If you're asking, is this guy going to realistically start above Xavier Tillman or Nemias Keita? No. Like, those guys are further along in their development. Xavier Tillman, I would say, I don't really know what's happening there, but I'm still higher on Nemias Keita than that guy.
I don't hate a flyer on Luka Garza. I wouldn't exactly expect much there, but I don't hate a flyer on him, to be honest. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Celtics and Bruins expectations coming up. We'll get to the Red Sox at 11 o'clock, again, Tier Tuesday, and Bradfo as well. Let's start it off with our buddy JP in North Providence. What's up, JP?
The Beast and Pesky.
Wait. JP, you're breaking up a little bit. I know you had a very clever name for what this is. What? Repeat yourself. What is it?
The Beast and the BST Beauty. You know, I get the crush on Mago, and she's always great on BST.
Thanks.
So I'm also on BST. That nickname could have gone either way, just FYI, JP.
So I got two important 4th of July questions for you, Jones. You know, the first, will the missus be making potato salad and or macaroni salad for 4th of July, Jones?
Question. Great question.
That's when you go to the market to get the extra soda in case she does.
Or?
Way of the Bill Belichick, Adam Jones coaching tree there. Is he gone again? That's an important question.
Okay, so you're breaking up. I think that was a joke about Keith not being here, the Jones coaching tree, which has taken out many producers and co-hosts as well. His question goes back to many years ago. I'm sure you've heard this, Mego. JP references this all the time. In the middle of COVID.
Cat tried to kill you.
Yeah, my wife took up baking, as many people did, to fill time. And she made a batch of cupcakes, muffins, something like that, with legitimately a piece of glass in there that I bit into. And I was like, boy, there's something pretty firm in here. Piece of glass. So my wife tried to murder me. JP likes to bring that up. Is she making anything for 4th of July? I don't know. It's a good question.
I was invited to a cookout, a barbecue, and I was told to bring dessert. And I feel like that's what you give to the least responsible person.
Well, are you going to make it or are you just going to pick something up?
No, I'm going to pick something up. You think I'm going to make dessert?
Stop and Shop. Shaw's the Star Market, I should say. And go bring that in. Yeah.
Also, what kind of dessert do you make? What am I going to make? A cake? For like 20 people?
Make muffins with glass in it. Paul is in Abington. Hello, Paul.
Hey, good morning. So I got a quick question. I know it's so early. Season just ended. Draft just happened. People are leaving. But I just need to find out why everyone has already on July 1st high expectations or higher than I would think right now for the Celtics, because you've got Brown, you've got White, you've got Pritchard, who I think, if anything, may take a step back because I think there's going to be more expected from him or could be expected from him, and I don't know if he can handle that or not. Nobody does. But so you're missing a lot of bigs. There are no bigs on this team other than Keita. Everyone keeps talking about Tillman, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Tillman's like 6'7". He's not a big. He's not a center, at least, even though there's no true centers anymore.
He's small, and I don't think he's healthy either, Paul. So, yeah, I wouldn't count so much on him.
I know there's a lot still to happen. You know, guys get to be picked up, whatever it may be. But right now, I would be hard-pressed to think the Celtics could even sniff the playoffs next year. I have them as a 10, 11, or 12 seed next year right now in my book, because there's nobody left on this team other than Brown and White.
Okay, we'll take a look around at the East. But, Paul, that's a good segue into what we wanted to discuss coming up. What are your expectations for the Celtics? Paul says 11 or 12 in the East. We'll get your thoughts on that and on the Bruins as well. Free agency at high noon in the NHL. It's already in full swing in the NBA. Good time to look at these teams and set our expectations. We'll do that with your phone calls next.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You. a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch, Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll get to the Red Sox offense, maybe turning it around, and it may just be correlated to, you know, cheating. Cheating's too strong of a word.
No.
Pitch tipping.
It's about instincts is what it is.
It's something.
It's about body language.
Yeah, whatever it is, I'm on board with it. I'll tell you that right now.
It's about a lot of things that Breslow's computer can't understand.
Well, that's true. There's a human element for sure going on last night. So we'll get to that. Some comments from Alex Bregman as well. Rob Bradford is going to talk to us on a Tuesday this week.
It's not an Apple Watch.
It's definitely not that. High noon. We'll be talking to Bradfo. And we got Tiers Yard Games at 11:30. So we'll be tearing those off on a Tier Tuesday here on WEEI. Your expectations, let's start with the Celtics, Mego. Mm-hmm. And I understand, you know, the full snapshot of the team. We don't know what the full picture looks like in the front court. We don't know if Anfernee Simons, for instance, is here long term or not. Hauser, Niang, names like this. What's your expectation for the Celtics without Jason Tatum this upcoming season?
So I definitely think that they have to figure something out more with the center position. Like they having this as the setup for your bigs is very stressful to me. And I really thought that they would at least have Luke Kornet as some kind of stopgap there while they figured the situation out. And now that's not going to happen. I'm not that confident with the Horford situation with him coming back here. And I don't even know if that makes sense with the timeline of what contract that he wants, his age, Tatum being out for a year. All that to say, I see them as like a sixth or seventh seed. I see them as a first round playoff team. Maybe they get bounced in the first round. Maybe they have a lot of momentum. They follow the lead of Jaylen Brown and they turn into like this very physical, feisty, defensively based team. And they get a nice, easy, soft seed that's higher than them but hasn't really earned it. And they get through to the second round. Beyond that, I don't think these are going to be like the IT bridgey teams or anything like that. I think they're going to be an early playoff round team.
So, not to nitpick, there is a big difference between six and seven, right? Because you're either out of the play-in or in the play-in.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'd have to see it. If they're the sixth seed, but they win 46 games and, you know, they're scrappy, then that's probably roughly what I'm talking about. I think they should win 50-ish. I think they should be a top four seed. I don't,
because the East is weak.
Yeah, and just look at a team like the Pacers. The Pacers last year were the four seed. I think every team over 500 in the East last year was a top six seed, so they would have avoided the play-in. Orlando was exactly 500, the seventh seed off the top of my head. Indiana won 50 games. They were the four seed last year. I think right now you're not as deep as Indiana, but I think top end talent wise, you're better than Indiana right now. And they were in the NBA finals. They won 50 games. They were a top four seed. So you do need to fill out your front court, but I don't think you need to do anything drastic to be that in the East next year.
There's still some movement to be had, but the East is just so strange. As we sit here today, you're probably going to have New York, Orlando, Atlanta, like might be towards the top of the East. Who knows with the Bucks? They're probably going to hang on to Giannis. And then it gets very, very saggy. Like beyond
you don't
that,
have Cleveland in there?
Oh, yeah, Cleveland, of course. But beyond that, it's like anything. So I think that those lower seeds are going to be really up for grabs. To the last caller's point, having Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Peyton Pritchard is still better off than a lot of teams in that saggy group in the East. So I'd be shocked if you're not, the saggers.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if you're not a six or seven seed.
Yeah, like I wouldn't brace for that last
Something
caller.
Something will have gone very wrong with the team.
Last caller said 11 or 12
seed. No, that's crazy.
That happens. That's a massive, massive failure.
That happens. A lot of people are losing their jobs.
I think if they're in the play-in, I don't know if people lose their jobs if they're in the play-in, but
no,
I would
No,
consider,
if you're 11 or 12.
No, I agree. If they're 11 or 12, even Missoula, who I think has, you know, talking about having some cover, I think Missoula has some cover this year because of the Tatum injury. If they're the 11 or 12 seed and you're missing even the play-in, then his job could be in jeopardy. I would consider it a massive disappointment if you're in the play-in. How about for the Bruins? And the reason I ask, on Twitter, DFA tweets in at Jones and Keefe. Guys, Connor McDavid is a free agent next year. I'm sure he wants out after losing the finals. Tank this year. Team sucks. Keep the money and spend it on McDavid next year. So that's one expectation for the team, tank for Connor McDavid. What is your expectation for the Bruins with free agency a little over an hour away?
I just don't really think that's how this front office does business. Like, I think that they felt pretty sheepish about being in the gutter the last several months of the season. And then they hold up, hey, look, we're able to actually go for forward centers in the draft because we're so high up in the draft. We usually can't take this risk. That's what we heard when they came out of the draft. I don't think that they'll do that 2 years in a row. So I think the Connor McDavid thing seems like a real pipe dream. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. But to me, they're kind of in a similar place as the Bruins, where I feel like that's a team that will probably be in one round of playoffs, and the Jacobsons will be happy with that because they get to sell those tickets, and then they can say that there's a perennial playoff contender.
I would say getting back to the Stanley Cup playoffs would be a nice step for them, and it's very doable. I think that's very, very doable. Again, half the league makes the playoffs in the NHL. I think that should be an easy ask for this team, which before they blew it up at the trade deadline, and they really blew it up at the trade deadline, They were still in the mix for a playoff spot at that point in time. They really fell off afterwards, but they were still tangentially in the mix, even with a down year. They should be a playoff team. I think that's a simple, basic expectation for them. I do agree with the Twitch chat. I think it was rather be golfing in there. McDavid's not coming here. So you want to put all your eggs in that basket, tank, have a horrible season, lose out on a playoff gate and everything else, which could get your new coach fired right after year one. Although maybe it would be a means to an end to get Sweeney and Neely fired as well. And then,
yeah, but they're not going to do that to themselves.
You're putting all your eggs in the McDavid basket? Why would he want to come to, if you were tanking and terrible?
Right.
Why would he want to come here?
He's waiting for the great BC tidal wave.
I mean, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he...
Mary Ann's isn't even open anymore.
Others
like, they don't have anything cool to show Connor McDavid.
Others have a big problem with BC players. Maybe McDavid doesn't. I don't know. Maybe
did you ever
he
make it over
issue.
To the old Mary Ann's?
Yes, I did.
It's like the sister bar to Beacon Hill Pub.
What, were they sister bars?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
were.
That. I made it to the old Mary Ann's. I made it to, I don't know if Rogie's is still there. I would go to some of those BC
What's
bars
Rogie's?
Over there. Rogie's was a BC bar.
Sounds creepy.
I want to say it had pizza.
Oh,
which pretty never nice.
Mind. It sounds wonderful.
It was pretty nice, actually, is what it
That's
was.
That's all it takes?
Yeah. Pizza, pitchers. I believe, unless I'm confusing that with another bar, I think that was another BC bar. Yeah.
Mary Ann's was the sister bar to Beacon Hill Pub, and then the same restaurant group bought both of them and is converting them into like nice, reasonable restaurants, which is very sad.
Yeah,
big loss.
I don't like a nice, reasonable restaurant.
No,
I want a pitcher and like a sticky floor. That's what I want.
Someplace you don't
want
to walk into before it's 6 p.m.
Exactly. Kelly is in Amherst. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, yeah, I'm hearing all the Celtics talk here. I definitely agree that the guy that said they're down to number 10, that's a little bit off base. It's just like you're not watching basketball. If you remember from last year, the team would run out their B squad a lot of games. They wouldn't even start guys, and they would still blow out some teams. Mm-hmm. So I think the Celtics B squad is still good enough to put them into third or fourth. I'm with you on that one. And as for the Horford talk, I'm not too worried about Horford coming back because obviously this team's not going anywhere in the time that Horford's going to be good enough to do anything. But I don't want him going to some, enemy team and it turning into a Ray Allen situation.
Okay, so Mego brought this up yesterday. I don't think the Warriors fit that, but LeBron and the Lakers might if they brought him in.
I see the Warriors much more as your big brother. I think like when you look at a lot of members of the Celtics team, they see it that way because of the 2022 finals. But even when it was IT's team, it felt a little bit that way. They would always challenge the Warriors when the Warriors were on their hottest streak of that dynasty. So I don't see them as an enemy. Like, besides the Lakers, especially with LeBron, who's somebody who would really gross you out if Horford went to?
Yeah, I don't really think...
Celtics have been basically
Miami,
running over a lot of teams for a while.
If Miami
so it
still had Butler and were more competitive, like maybe Miami?
Nah, I feel like that's in the rear view.
Maybe, but I don't think they have a real one right now, to be honest, that you would feel gross about him
would
going
you,
there.
What about going to Milwaukee and playing with Giannis? Because a lot of people don't like Giannis.
Yeah, is Giannis even still going to be there?
Jalen called Giannis a child.
Yeah, is Giannis even still going to be there?
I think he's going
to
be there.
I think at this point, it'd probably be smart to hang on to him if you're Milwaukee. By the way, the 11-12 seed last year in the East won 30 and 26 games. Toronto and Brooklyn. They were 8-2, if you count the playoffs.
Do you remember that these teams are in the Eastern Conference? Like, you have Toronto, Brooklyn, Washington. You think you're going to be an 11th or 12th seed? No way.
They were 8-2 and 10-3 counting the playoffs without Tatum last year. They had a win. They were like 39-11 or something like that without Porzingis.
I don't really count those.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like they were beating up on bad teams. Fine. I mean, they were 2-1 in the playoffs without him, including against the team that made the Eastern Conference final. So they're not going to win 30 or 26 games. They'll at least be 500-ish, which would make them the seventh seed in the play-in in the East. And I think they should be better than that. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. We have NBA free agency started up last night. NHL free agency, little over an hour from now. We'll react to each, and we'll get to the Red Sox. They actually won a game last night. Ah. Is the offense turning around? And if it is, why? Is the offense turning around? Let's get to that next.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.